It is 5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Tuesday, June 23rd on 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. I'm Jake Dye. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, hundreds of Alaska projects were advanced to the next stage of consideration for federal Rural Health Transformation Program grants. But first, state firefighters say a roughly 90-acre wildfire that broke out in Sterling last week is fully contained. The Alaska Division of Forestry and Fire Protection reported Tuesday intensive mop-up operations on the so-called Grandview Fire have concluded and there's no further threat of spread. The state says a fuel break constructed in 2020 was a key factor in keeping the blaze from reaching a nearby power line corridor. An area where hazardous vegetation had been cleared slowed the spread and provided space for firefighters to operate from. To ensure the fire is contained, crews searched a 200-foot area beyond the fire's perimeter for remaining heat. The state says they felt for remaining heat under the surface and cut apart fuel sources like logs and root systems. The Grandview Fire was first reported last Wednesday evening near the intersection of Swanson River Road and Jacobson Avenue in Sterling. That evening, the blaze grew from an initial size of around 8 acres to almost 90 acres. The state later determined the fire was caused by an escaped campfire. Central Emergency Services assisted state crews in putting the fire out. Additional firefighters and equipment were brought in from Fairbanks and Palmer. The state initially said the fire threatened nearby utility lines, however, firefighters bounded the blaze before that happened. At the request of emergency services, Homer Electric Association cut power for around 3,400 customers so crews could drop water in the area. The cooperative said it restored power to all customers around an hour and a half later. The state did not issue any evacuation orders for Sterling, but an assisted living home in the area voluntarily evacuated residents to the nearby senior center the night the fire was reported. The residents returned home the next morning. As of Tuesday, the Alaska Division of Forestry and Fire Protection says fire danger on the Kenai Peninsula remains very high, and it's requiring burn permits. Up-to-date information about wildland fires in Alaska is available at akfireinfo.com. Alaska State Troopers recovered the body of an Anchorage paddleboarder who went missing in Turnagain Arm after a weekend-long search. The U.S. Coast Guard, the Girdwood Fire Department, and members of the Alaska Dive Search, Rescue, and Recovery Team searched for the man, later identified as 25-year-old Joshua Novakovich, after he went missing at around 10:30 p.m. Friday. He was last seen near mile 92 on the Seward Highway. The Coast Guard suspended its search Saturday afternoon, according to state troopers. The case was then classified as a missing persons investigation, and the dive team used drones to search from the shore as volunteers continued searching through Sunday. Troopers say they were alerted to a potential sighting of Novakovich's body on Sunday at around 7:45 p.m., A trooper helicopter flew from Anchorage and recovered the body on a sandbar. Novakovich's body was transferred to the state medical examiner's office for an autopsy. A cruise ship arrived in Seward on Friday with a dead fin whale attached to its bow, according to a statement from NOAA Fisheries. An initial investigation found the 61-foot adult whale was pregnant, the statement says. Fin whales are listed as endangered under the Endangered Species Act. Vessel strikes are a major threat to fin whales, according to NOAA. The only scheduled cruise ship in Seward on Friday was Ovation of the Seas, operated by Royal Caribbean Group. The incident is being investigated by the NOAA Fisheries Office of Law Enforcement. The agency is working with the Alaska Sea Life Center in Seward to perform a necropsy to determine the animal's cause of death. NOAA declined an interview request, citing an active investigation. In an emailed statement, Royal Caribbean said the vessel immediately reported the incident and that they're awaiting necropsy results. And finally, the state of Alaska has advanced more than 400 projects to the next step in its grant application process for the Rural Health Transformation Program. That's a federal program to strengthen the state's rural health infrastructure as the country faces huge cuts and eligibility changes to federal health care programs. Alaska is expecting to get and distribute more than $1 billion over the next 5 years. The state requested that organizations, hospitals, and clinics send letters of interest outlining potential projects as they compete for the funding. State Health Commissioner Heidi Hedberg says the project has three primary goals, first and foremost being the betterment of Alaskans' health.
We know that to drive towards better health outcomes, we need to strengthen our workforce in healthcare and lean into technology and innovation. Third, we hear from our providers, which are our doctors, our nurses, our healthcare workers, that they need stability in different payment models, and we're calling that pay for value.
Hedberg said the state has received over 1,800 letters of interest for the grant funding. Of those, she says more than 400 have advanced to the application process. Some projects were deferred to a later stage of the program because they're better suited to start once the state's health infrastructure is stronger. The state denied some that were not aligned with the project's values or allowable by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the federal office overseeing the project. A few projects also received planning grants so the state can help the organizations make a clear plan. The Rural Health Transformation Program's timeline is tight, and both the state and applying organizations have been working to meet deadlines. Allison Miller, a program coordinator for the state brought on for the project, says watching the process is uplifting.
It has been really inspiring and humbling to see how engaged people are and how motivated they are to help other Alaskans and improve health outcomes. And I think that is something that all of us have really appreciated as we have done this. It really serves as kind of a guiding star as we go through this process.
Full applications were due to the state by June 22nd. Applications will be reviewed by subject matter experts and evaluated according to the Department of Health's publicly posted evaluation matrix. Hedberg, the health commissioner, says the state anticipates implementation grants to be awarded August 1st. That's all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from Wesley Early, Ava White, and Rachel Cassandra in Anchorage. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Jake Dye. Have a great night.
Iris Pevios, and I'm 10 years old, and I'm here today to talk to you about why KDLL is so important to our community. Like, for example, Science Friday is super important to me because it helps me understand the world around me, and I'm sure that it's the same for a lot of people too, and this is one of the many reasons you should support or donate to KDLL.
Thanks, Iris. If you appreciate and value public broadcasting on the Kenai Peninsula, donate now at kdll.org.